Okay, we're up to Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Pasuk Chof Aleph, Shefech Buz Aleph. Even Eiv is continuing his analysis of the world. He is telling his friends that I fully recognize there is a Creator. I recognize that there is Hashkacha. Similarly, he seems to be saying there is Hashkacha Pratis. And he's responding primarily to Naaman HaMasi, who Naaman HaMasi accused Eiv of questioning his belief in Hashem, realizing or recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom is infinitely greater than a human being. So all of the pesukim that we had here, going back from Pasuk Zayin until what we've learned yesterday, Zayin to Pasuk Chaf, is all the different expressions where Eiv says to his friends that from nature it's obvious that there is a Creator. Look, speak to the earth, speak to the animals, to the birds, the fish. Look at the wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria, into creation, into the world. Look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. He has influence over the kings, over the Sarim. He controls their plans, their thoughts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wants, he can strengthen a nation, and if he wants, he can weaken a nation. And here in Pasuk Chof Aleph, he continues that idea. Shoifech buz al nidivim. He doesn't even close the door. Just close the door. Close the door. Just close the door. Just close it all the way. Okay. Shoifech buz al nidivim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he pours buz al nidivim. Meziach afikim ripa. Again, another expression where he recognizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. And here he says that when Hashem wants, he pours disgrace upon the wealthy, the successful. Sometimes very popular, very, very famous people are publicly disgraced. And the disgrace is not small. The disgrace is very significant, very great. Let's take a look at Pasuk Chof Aleph in the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Chof Aleph, Shoifech Pa'am, at times, Yavi Buz Harbei Al Nidivim. Sometimes Hashem brings great disgrace on the elite. Kamayim hanishpachim, like water that pours. As you take a bucket of water and you pour it upon a person, that's how great the intensity of the disgrace that Hashem pours upon people who are nidivim. We all see this all the time in the news. Every so often a politician makes a big mistake and the world responds with a fury. And the disgrace is noira v'oyim. And then the pasuk concludes, "Meziach afikim ripa." Meziach means the belt of afikim means the mighty. Afikim is another word for the nedivim, for the very powerful. Ripa, he loosens. And this means that this expression we had yesterday, a gibar wears a belt. He wears a belt around his loins to give him strength. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person puts this belt upon his loins, his thigh, it's an expression of being powerful. And when this belt is opened and loosened, it's an expression, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking away his power. So Hashem, at his choosing, decides to undo, to loosen the belt of the Afikim. Marpeich, and Pasuk in the Mitzvah, it contains Marpeich, Haguras, HaChazokim. Hashem loosens the belt of the mighty, Rotz. Yatish Koicham, Hashem weakens their power, ki hahechagor, because the belt who mizoroi is his strength. A person's belt is his power. The nechlash, and when the person's power is weakened, kishen nisrape hechagur, when the belt is opened, that means that his power has now been removed. So this passage basically just describes that the Shulchan decides he controls leaders. When he wants, he will disgrace leader. When he wants, he will strengthen leader. Now look at the pasuk of the Rashi. Umeziach afikim ripa, v'chegor hechazakim marpe. The belt of the mighty he loosens. Umefatech hagurim lahatish koicham. So Rashi explains that loosening the belt is an expression which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away their power. Kamo pasuk in Tehillim, where there is an expression mazech tamid yiskareh, that the belt is always fastened around the person's loins. So there, just basically means that a belt means it means power, and the loosening of the belt in our context would mean the weakening of a king, and the loss of power. Pasuk Chof Beis Megale Amukos Mini Choshech. There was a very famous mukubal. It's called the Megale Amukos. Anyone know where he lived? 16th century. I don't remember exactly what his name was.
He was a Kohen.
What?
He I think he was a
Kayan. He was a very holy person. Asfarim is known as the Megale Amlukos. Obviously, that title comes from this pasuk here in Iyov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Megale Amlukos Minei Choshech. When Hashem wants, Hashem reveals secrets. Hashem reveals secrets from darkness. Vayotzei Lo'or Tzalmoves. And He brings forth light from the shadow of death. Tzalmoves means the shadow of death. There are different types of darkness. At night it's dark, but it's not completely dark. And then there's the ultimate darkness, is the darkness that exists in the other world called Tzalmoves. Tzalmoves, the shadow of death. When Hashem... What?
Not Shapiro.
Nasa, not Shapiro. When did he live? Shapiro?
1637.
17th century. And what are Svarim? Then he has a whole collection of Svarim. Obviously, one of them is called the Megala Amukas. Where did he live? Does it say where he lives? Wikipedia? It's a Poland. Polish. Okay, Poland. Interesting. He was a Mekubal. Big, big, heavy duty Mekubal. You don't really have Mekubalim in Poland. That's not the place for Mekubalim. Okay. Megale Amukois Mini Khoshek Vayotse Lord Tzalmoves, Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals uncovered secrets from the depths and from the darkness. And Vayotse Lord Tzalmoves, Hashem has the power to bring forth light even from the place of ultimate darkness, the shadow of death. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Tavit Pasuk of Beis. Megale Ratzulaymar, this means Milaneid Ha'odom Das Lahaskil Dvorim Amukim Koshe Ha'Havana. Hashem, if He chooses, can give a human being insight, give him the intellect to understand matters that are extremely complex. Tzalmoves Ratzulaymar Dvorim Hanelamim, secrets, Bioser, or things which are deep, profound, complex. Motzi Lo'or, Hashem brings to light, brings forth. Ki yichonein he'odom da'as de'o, Hashem, if He chooses, can endow man with knowledge. V'yoyir einof. So it's very interesting how the Mitzvah learns Pshat in the Pasuk that the or is a reference to the or einof, the light of his eyes, intellect. His mind opens up. The Yor Einav Lehovin Dovar Mitoch Dovar. Nova. Now we discussed the Haggadah. The fifth son. The fifth son is the one who asked the Manishtana. He's the Nova and it's Mevin Dovar Mitoch Dovar. That's what Paro said about Yosef. A Nova and Lechachem Kamocha. Rashi, Pasik. There is Afikim. That's the next. Okay, so I left Afikim Chazakim. I left out. Let's just go back. I left out that part of the Rashi. That's part of Chafal. Afikim means Chazakim Kamo. Afike Nuchusha. It means they're the mighty ones. In that context as well, Afike Maginim, people who are hold shields. Okay, the other expressions where the word Afikim means the mighty, and the previous pasuk in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, He weakens the mighty by loosening their belt. Pasuk Habeis Megala Mukos Minichosh. Hashem has power. Hashem's power extends into the mind, the intellect of the being. Kadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to assist a person in understanding difficult things. Vayotzei Lo'or Tzalmoves. Hashem brings forth light, understanding from a shadow of death. Every single day we say in davening, we say. For Chochma Satora is miyuchid to the bracha of Ahava Rabba. Ahava Rabba, we ask for 8 things: the same bein lehovin, lehaskil, leshmoya, lilmot, lamed, lishma, velasos, ulakayim. All of those 8 expressions are different things which are referred to understanding, accomplishing in Divrei Torah. The Bali Musar say that when it comes to tefillah, when it comes to davening, there are many things. Many things we know we don't get what we want. We can daven from today until tomorrow. We can bang our head into the wall. We can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for parnasa. We can ask Him for shaduchim. We can ask Him for all these types of things. And unfortunately, we all have experience where it's very, very hard to succeed in convincing Hashem to give you something which you want and feel would be for your good. However, the Bali Musar say, you have to just try it, if you are mispalel for matters of ruchnius. Let's say you're learning a sugya, you're learning a blat gemara, and you don't understand, you just don't understand what it means, the Tosfos, and it bothers you. and you are mespalel to Hashem, the Bali Musa say, with regard to these matters, you are guaranteed, it's baduk uminusa, it's been tested, tried and tested, that it's extremely easy for Hashem to grant your request when you mespalel for matters of ruchnias, matters of chokhma in Torah. And here the Pasuk says, that's what the Pasuk of here says, that when it comes to the matters of Chochma, the Pasuk is not necessarily discussing Torah, because Chochma, there are seven branches of Chochma. We all know that. The menorah has seven branches. The center there is Torah, but there are six other branches. There are six different disciplines in science, according to Chazal. And the Pasuk here says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Hashem is Megala Amukos Minechoshech V'yotzi Lo Salmoves, something which is Lumala Miderech HaTeva, and only comes through Siyata Deshmaya, and that can come through the Koyach HaTzvila. Let's take a look at Pasuk of Gimel, Maski Lagoyim Vayadeim Shoteach Lagoyim Vayanchem. According to the Mitsudos, the word Maski is a difficult word. The Maski can be easily confused with the word Mashki. There's a word Mashki with a Shin, and there is a word Maski as it appears here with a Sin. According to the Mitsudos, and we'll see according to Rashi as well, this means to make a mistake. Shoige, shgaga, an error, a mistake. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He wants, He has influence over the minds of the nations, the minds of the leaders, and when He wants, He can cause them to make horrible mistakes, which will result in terrible things. And that, of course, will be a punishment for their sins.
The Mitzvah doesn't say that.
Let's take a look. Chav Gimel. Let's take a look. Mitzudos. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. The other way around. I made a mistake. The other way around. With a shin, it means to make a mistake. I'm sorry. With a sin, it means to make great, to elevate. Rashi is going to explain the difference between the two, and Rashi is going to suggest that in the Chanami there are opinions that learn even when it says that with a sin, it can also mean to make a mistake, to cause others to make a mistake. But here, according to the Mitzvah, it means to make great. When Hashem wants, Hashem elevates nations, they become world powers. We know
the higher they get,
that's not what the Mitzudos says. That's what really what Rashi alludes to. Rashi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring an end to a nation, He first elevates them. Because the higher you go, the lower you fall. In order, it's an aliyah, letzarech yirida. Because Hashem wants to punish and destroy them. But a simple understanding of this passage, according to the Mitzvah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of world events, world affairs. And when Hashem chooses, He elevates nations to prominence. And when Hashem chooses, He lowers them. They have no influence in the world affairs. This is Jewish history. Throughout Jewish history, there are always different world powers. In Egypt, after the fall of Egypt, who became a world power? Well, really, Klal Yisrael became world power. But then after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, go to the different tkufas, there was Ashur, was a world power. During tkufas, Mitzrayim was a world power. And then Bavel became a world power. Then Moda became world power. Paras became world power. And then Edom became a world power. And when each nation was a world power, Yavon, Mokdon, so they're all different tkufas in the world. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He elevates different nations who become the superpower of the world. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk of Gimel in the Mitzudos David. Maski, with a sin, who magdil, Hashem makes great, Eshu Anoshim, B'memsholo Rav, V'hu Ma'abdam, and then when Hashem chooses, He chooses to destroy them. The next words of the pasuk, shoteach. What does it mean, shoteach? That parallels maski. Hashem caused them to spread. He increases their number, and they dominate, and they set up settlements throughout the earth. Shoteach hu yifreshem al pihu adama. He spreads them across the earth. B'merchav rav. Seemingly, according to the Mitzudos, this is a good thing. This parallels the word maski. When Hashem makes a nation great, He causes their numbers to increase, and they spread throughout the land, and they have great influence. But then, when their time is up, when Hashem chooses, the pasuk concludes, Vayanchem. Vayanchem comes from the word, he sends them into into exile. He leads them away. He tells them, pick yourselves up and get lost, get out of this country, go into exile. V'hu yanhigei mi'artzam l'oleches gola, to go in exile. So there are two pasuk is parallel. Maski la'goyim, when Hashem wants, He makes a nation great, and when Hashem wants, v'yabdeim, He destroys them. Then we repeat the same thing. He spreads out a nation, He caused them to become great, and He allows them to spread and settle throughout the land. And then when He chooses, enough is enough, now you are to be destroyed, go into exile. Yeah.
Look at Mitzvah Tzion. Yeah. A proof text for that idea.
Okay, maski magdil ke'erez balavonim yiske, becomes great.
You want to know how this word comes to mean
that. Yiske. Yiske means it becomes very great. Ke'erez ba'alvan, yiske, rises to a height, an exalted height. Shoteach means pores, the spread. Kmo vayishtuchu lohem shatoach, that was by the slav. The slav was spread throughout all the land when the people, they took the slav for themselves. Okay, now look at Rashi. Rashi is different. Pasuk HaGimel Rashi, Rashi says, maski lagoyim vayadim. Yeish oimrim. Some want to suggest, kasha osa lemitzrayim, beha Hasigam when they chased after them, when they were massacred, they overtook them by Baal Tzifon. That means Hashem caused Mitzrayim to make a fatal mistake and chase after the Jewish people when they left Egypt. Why did they make this fatal mistake? Because they went backwards. 3 days after they left Mitzrayim, they were spies. Pharaoh had spies. He had drones roaming, circling the desert, and he saw that the Jewish people, after 3 days, they were going forward, they were going towards the Midbar, and then suddenly they returned by Yeshuvu, by Yachanu Lefnei Baal Tzifon. They went backwards. Right, Rashi, in this first interpretation, is translating the word Yiskeh, Maski, as if it's a shin, and Hashem caused, it's referring specifically to an event, Hashem caused the Egyptians to make a fatal mistake and chase after Klal Yisrael. What caused them to make this mistake? Because Hashem, the Anani HaKovo, directed Klal Yisrael to go backwards to this place called Baal Tzifon. What was in Baal Tzifon? It was obviously a village, a city. It was a city. And in the city they had a massive idol. Idol called Tzifon. And even though we are aware that at the time of Makas Bechoros, Hashem did not just wipe out the firstborns, the idols were miraculously destroyed at the time of Makas Bechoros. All of the statues that all over the land of that were all the idols miraculously were obliterated. So the Egyptians recognized that Kadosh Baruch Hu, He's destroying the idols. But there was one idol that remained. There was one massive idol that remained intact, and that was the idol of Tzifon. So Paro and the Egyptians were wondering, why is this the only idol that's still standing? If Hashem destroyed all the idols in the land of Egypt, why did He allow this one to remain? It must be that this idol has power. This idol is a match for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, when we compound that with the fact that the Klal Yisrael, they were returning, they went backwards, and they encamped right opposite Tzifon, it must be Tzifon is still in play,
powerful.
As powerful. And that gave Paro the reason, the reason to chase after Klal Yisrael, believing that one idol will still allow him to prevail, succeed over Klal Yisrael. Now that was foolish. That was Hashem did this on purpose, left it over on purpose, and asked Klal Yisrael to return by directing the Anani HaKavod backwards in order to mislead Paro to chase after Klal Yisrael, so that Paro can then go into the Yam, can be drawn out into the Yam and drown. So according to this interpretation, the word maski means Hashem caused nations, the nations here refer to Egypt, caused them to make a mistake and to chase after Klal Yisrael, so that vayabdeim, they shall be destroyed. Shoteach lagayim, would that mean, if you want to be consistent, would that mean Hashem caused them to spread? To spread means to chase. Spreading out means to, in this context, according to this interpretation, would mean to pursue. When you pursue your enemy, you are spreading yourself out thin. You're going forward. Vayanchem, and Hashem caused them to be led after Bnei Yisrael for their detriment to ultimately fall into the Yam. So let's see the word of Rashi. Rashi says, "Maski lagoyim vayavdim yeshem some seka she'asal l'mitzrayim behasigam." When they overcame, they overtook Es Yisrael lefnei Baal Tzifon. Shogu, they made a mistake. V'omru teidu shehiski mimanu l'tovam bayam. Now, similarly, Rashi is saying that Hashem Himself wants them to drown in the sea. Kasher gozarnu, just like we were mechaving to this idea years ago of kol habein hayiloid, kol habein hayiloid hayoret hashlichu, throw them into the sea. The kasha yiriyasai shel baal tzifon, and powerful, kasha here means powerful, is the didiri of baal tzifon, shloi na'asu bo shefotim k'chol lohei mitzrayim. It's the only idol that was not destroyed the night of Makas Bechoros. V'goram hamokom lehashgosam. Hashem caused the Egyptians to make this mistake, k'dei l'tavam. The truth was that they should be the ones that drowned in the Yam, period. This is the first interpretation, but Rashi says here, "V'zeh haloshen einoy ikar." This interpretation is incorrect, because then the misar should be that the word should be with a shin. It's not the ikar. The imkain hoyelo loymar b'tzad yamin. It should be a shin, not a sin. Mash. It should be mashki kimo shogeh. And therefore, although this is a very nice drush, mashki lagoyim, we're going to read as if it's, even though everyone agrees that the Masor is maski, but we're going to read as if it says mashki, which means a mistake, and then we're going to learn the reference to Eev is talking about, he's talking about world history. Seemingly, the Eev is talking after the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. This goes back to the old discussion, when did Eev live? Eev lived in the time of Amar Avinu. We cannot possibly have said this, because this event did not yet happen. So then you would have to say, according to the tradition of Rashi, that Eev lived after the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Eev is now recalling, look, I know that there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I know there's Zikrit. I know Kodesh Baruch Hu has control. Look what he did to the Egyptians. He caused a mighty nation of Egypt to make a fatal mistake and chase after Klal Yisrael. Obviously, even at a later point in time. Avol Zeker.
Just one thing.
Yeah.
Eov is not the one who brought up Mitzrayim. That's Rashi based on the Medrash.
But Rashi is putting this in. Is putting this in to the words of Eov. Yeah, but seemingly Rashi is putting this in. You're right. You may be saying it's Nevuah or with just as a Medrash, just using these words. But if you want to go to, you want to go all the way to an extreme level of interpretation, it's not so far fetched. If you want to say that Eev lived, there are opinions that Eev did live. Right, the Targum over here is silent. The Targum over here doesn't say any of this stuff. That's what's so interesting here. The Targum here doesn't say any of this stuff. Here he doesn't. Right, that's what's so interesting. Here you would expect.
Everything Eev is saying,
yeah.
He
is saying to himself.
No, he's defending himself against what Eliphaz and Bildad say. Right?
Yeah.
So what's he saying? He's saying, everybody knows Hashem has ultimate power, and he takes away from smart people, and from strong people he loses the belt, and from people who have gaiva, they fall in. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. You're attacking them for saying to you that the... there's Ashgacha, so he answers, of course there's Ashgacha. And you give all the examples. So why are you so...
He says in the next parak. In the next parak, he's going to touch upon that. He's going to say, "I've done nothing wrong."
Right. So he keeps that's, coming back.
He keeps.
Hashem knows what he's doing. He does this and he does that and he does this and then he does that.
So that makes my question. So that's really he's that makes my question more painful, more difficult. Because since I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, and I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, he's on scene, he's calling all the shots.
So why
it doesn't make sense why I'm suffering if HaKadosh. Exactly. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't...
No, not that I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand the way Hashem works, and I have to accept it.
No, that's exactly what the Mitzudas and the learns of Shana Pasa, Eev is not saying. Eev is saying...
I know he's not saying that, but he's saying... The biggest kings, Hashem takes away the words out of
it. So what does that show? All that shows is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is present. He is here.
So
he is on site.
Know.
It's not a world no. So he said about himself that there's nothing I could have done. I have nothing I could have done that I deserve this type of suffering. And therefore it doesn't make sense. The only way to make sense out of this is to say that Hashem wound up the world like a watch, like a clock, and disappeared. He left. He's busy with other things. He's not involved in the daily affairs of this world. Then I can say, okay, that's why I suffer. That's why this is happening. Even that, he said, is not so simple, because my suffering is l'mal l'miderech hateva. But being that I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, and I see with my own eyes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has enormous control over the daily activities of this world, so you're here. You're present, Hashem. So why are you torturing me? What could I have possibly have done? And even though I know that I don't really know myself, maybe I did do an Aveira, but there's still no possible sin that I've committed that is I deserve this type of suffering. Look, people ask the question all the time with regard to children. Children, you have an infant, what could a child possibly have done, an infant, have done that he deserves to be tortured in some type of illness, Rachman al-Utslan. So Eve is saying, I'm no worse than an infant. I'm no worse on my level. I'm 70 years old, but I can go through my whole life from day to day. I have a diary. What already did I do in my life that I deserve such torture? Let's go further. So we have over here this idea of Rashi. And Rashi says, what is the ikur interpretation? I will zeh ikur. The ikur is magdil. It means magdil, exactly what the Mitzudos David said. Lashon sagi. Sagi means to become great. Sagi koyach. Masgi es hagoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevates the nations of the world. Umatzlichim. And Hashem causes them to be successful. The libo miskoye behatzlochosam, and their hearts take pride. The word maski doesn't just mean great. According to Rashi, it means to have gaiva, to have pride. Right? You have to have some gaiva in your success. V'hu hoya ovdon shalohen. And here Rashi says exactly what you said, Rabbeinu Meir. Not what the Mitzvah says. This is the source of their destruction. It's an aliyah litzarech yirida. Hashem brings them up in order to obliterate them. If they would just keep a low profile, right? You're successful. There are many multimillionaires out there. You know, big secrets. No one knows. No one knows they have in their bank accounts. They have millions of dollars. No one knows. It comes Purim. They don't even get one knock on the door from a collector. But then there are people. Then there are people. And there are people who thrive on this. They're wealthy. They love it. They love the limelight. But unfortunately, that opens them up for scrutiny. Ooh, this is a big public figure. He gives a lot of stock. Let's take a look at his assets. Let's invest with him. And people approach him and they persuade him to make investments that are not in his best interest. And before he turns around, goodbye. Goodbye and good luck.
This is what it said of Haman.
In order to bring him down. Exactly. Sometimes becoming going l'gedula is not for your benefit. This is their ivdan shalohem mashehitzlichot. That's not what the Mitzudah says. The Mitzudah just says Hashem controls the world. At times he elevates people, and at times he puts people down. Here we're putting the two together. Hashem destroys people. The way he destroys them is in the way, the technique, at times, is to bring them up in order to bring them down. Okay, let's go further. Now we come to Pasuk of 2. Basically, we have to keep in mind, we have two here interpretations of the word masgi. Is it to make a mistake, to cause others to make a mistake, or does it mean to become great? Even when it means to become great, is it becoming great, period, or it's becoming great for the purpose of the next word in the Pasuk, Vayabdeim. Pasuk of Dalet, Meisir Lev Roshei Am Haaretz, Hashem removes the heart of the heads of the world, the leaders. Again, he's repeating himself. B'milois Shainois. There's an enormous amount of repetition. The themes have been repeated over and over on a very similar level. He's saying the same idea. Hashem has the power to undo, to remove the heart of the heads of the people. Vayat'eim besohu lo derech. Hashem caused them to make a mistake and to go on a path that's lo derech, to go travel a way that's illogical, that's not nonsense. Betohu, in a place of nothingness. Pasuk of Dalid in the Mitzudos David, Meisir Pa'am, sometimes Meisir, he removes Chochmas Lev Roshei Ha'om Hamanhigim Oysam, the hearts of the leaders of the people. Ve'hema Yitu Es Ha'om, and therefore the leaders, when the captain, look at that harb, that flight, That flight 370, look, the captain, who knows what happened over there, the people on the board, they don't know what's going on. It's when you have a captain, a leader, that is a meshugana, that is going delusional, they can take a hamoinam, people totally go the wrong way. Manhigim oisam behema yitu esa'am, they cause people to make a mistake, lelechas be'etzato, to go in a council of foolishness, of emptiness, lo b'derech yosha ve'etzinachon, not in the path that it's right and up, that's proper. Pasik, okay, what does Rashi say? Pasik chav dalid b'tolo derech b'tohu, in a place of toh, of emptiness, which einoi derech, which is not a road. I left everyone Rashi, just go back one line above. Shaiteach, previous pasuk, marbe oisam lehashtiach be'eretz ulechasoisam. Hashem causes a nation to spread out and to cover the earth through their great numbers. And vayanchem either can mean positive. Hashem guides them. He guides them. Hashem makes the nation great. He causes them to increase in number, to spread out, and Hashem guides them. Or as the Mitzvah says, Vayanchem, when Hashem wants, Hashem can cause them to go, to guide them into exile. Even though at one point in time their numbers were great, they spread out, they were settled in the land with security and safety, but there are times when Hashem wants, Hashem will cause the nation to go into exile. Pasuk, okay, Pasuk of Dalid, we did Pasuk of Hey. Pasuk of Hey is a continuation of Pasuk of Dalid. Yimashashu Choshech V'loar. After Hashem has taken away the heart of the leaders and has caused the leader to guide his followers into a place of tohu, of emptiness, that's lo derech, the people now are in trouble and they grope in the darkness. Yimashishu choshech, they try to feel their way. They're blind. They're in a place of darkness. V'lo ar, vayasein, that's the same word in Pasuk of Dalid. They make mistakes, they trip and they struggle. Kashikor, like a drunk, like an intoxicated person that has no mind, who has no sense, has no shame, no sense, no intellect due to being intoxicated, and walks around like a madman. Pasuk of Hey.
I think this pasuk is also used to describe the makas koshek.
There's a medrash. Vayomesh choshech. Aha, interesting. Yimashishu choshech. Very interesting, because that's what Vayimosh, it was tangible. We know that Chazal say that the choshech of the Makos is not the choshech that we experience today. The choshech we experience today is the absence of light. The choshech of Mitzrayim was something that we don't know what we relate to. It was physical. It was something you can actually touch. So here you're saying very good. Yimashu choshech means that the darkness is so intense they could feel it. You can slice it. V'lo or vayasem kashikar mitzudos yimashu. It's a continuation of previous pasuk. V'hema mimashashim b'yidehem. They feel with their hands. He's learning this in a very similar interpretation. Not that it's tangible, but when there's darkness, you can't see. So you have to use your hands to move for movement. V'makim hachoshech shelo yelchu ba'asher yelchu ba. V'lo yelchu makim oira. They will now walk in the place of Torah. Tohu. The people make a mistake to go in the council of foolishness. El, and they don't turn to proper counsel. Hashem caused them to make a mistake. Lios mevul bolim, to be confused. Bedatam kumashikar, to lack intellect like a shikar who lacks intelligence. Pasuk. Now we just continue our pasuk. We'll do short Rashi. Pasuk of Dalid. We did that. Okay, now we go to next Yud Gimel. There's no break. It's continuing. These three parakim are the last response of Eiv. There's the response of Eiv to the third friend. Perek Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. It's one long continuous response. A response directed primarily to Tzofar Hanamasi, but also indirectly to the other two friends, Eliphaz and Bildad Hashuchi. So he continues. Hen kol ro'asa'ed. He's summarizing. From Pasik Zayin, all the way through Pasik Chav Hei, the previous Perek, Eov expressed his analysis of the world. He basically described, I sit here, I look at the world, I look at the Bria, I look at the earth, I look at the animal kingdom, I look at kings, I look at the followers, and it's clear as day to me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. Hashem has set up a system that is with infinite chokhmah, science has infinite chokhmah, and Hashem controls the activities of the people that live in this world. Hen, behold, call everything that I've mentioned in the previous psukim. Now here's a very beautiful thing. Ro'asa eini, shama ozni, vatoven lo. Now I'll tell you what it says in the Sipurno. See, unfortunately, now I only have a Sipurno in this edition here. I'm not using. You're not. Okay, in the other, there's a very beautiful page of Sipurno. It's very, very clear on Iyav. Also the Ramban. They don't have the Ramban. They don't have the Sipurno in these editions. But the Sipurno says that from the things that I've mentioned before, some of them I've actually seen with my own eyes. Ro'asa eini. And some of them, shama ozni, I didn't actually see, but I heard about. So let's say make believe for Mitzrayim. Let's say Eve did not live, was not part of Mitzrayim. I didn't actually see, witness Yitzias Mitzrayim, but I heard about it. It was on CNN. I saw the whole thing from beginning to end. I heard about it. So it's shama. Some things mentioned above I saw with my own eyes. I'm an eyewitness. And some things above in the last perek I heard about. And therefore, I'm just summarizing, I'm very much aware that there is a creator. And I'm very much aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed involved in Hashkacha Pratis. This is a clear rejection of the accusation that I deny Hashkacha Pratis. Everything that we mentioned above is clearly Hashkacha Pratis. Hashem is involved in the daily activities of this world. Hashem influences kings and the followers. Leiv melachim biyad Hashem. Hen behold, call everything we mentioned above. Ro'asa eini, my eyes saw. Or shama ozni, my ears heard. I heard about them. Vatoven lo, and I understand. I understand. I pay attention. I study these matters, and I've come to the conclusion that there is a creator. Ra mitzudos pasuk aleph. Hen behold, call eile, call advarim eile shamarti, which I've said in the previous parak. Kinei ro'asa eini hadvarim hanir. The near things which can be seen, the shama ozni hadram hanishmoim. Not everything can you see. Things that you hear, you can hear. Bein ha'ayin lebein ha'ayin is in both the eye and the ear. Hivino l'chol achas mehina shebedvar Hashem na'asa. That the word of Hashem, everything has been done. Pasik beis kedatchem yodati gamoni. Whatever you know, I know. Going back to the beginning of his beginning of Perek Yud Beis, where he said to them, you think you're the greatest chacham, you're the only ones that are wise, and when you die, wisdom will cease to exist. Sorry to tell you, Tsofar, and Bildad, and Eliphaz, I'm also a chacham. I also have a PhD. I'm just as smart as you, so don't prod yourself. Kedatchem, just like your knowledge, yedati gamani. I have the same degree like you. Lo noifel anochi mikem, on the level of wisdom, if we were to rate people who have intellect, I don't rank lower than you. In the world, in the eyes of the world, I'm just as smart as you. Pasuk beis in the Mitzudos, kedatchem, kishiur yidiyaschem. The IQ, I have the same IQ score. Yadati gamoni lepochus, I am not less v'gru anochi mikem than you, b'dvar ha'idiyah u'mazet t'sapu lefonai miflo is Hashem. How dare you tell me that I should study the wonders of Hashem? I'm very well aware of Hashem's wonders. Pasuk gimel, ulam. So now he speaks up, gets more intense in his response. Ani el shakai adaber. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to have a discussion with you. I want to have a discussion with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with Hashem. Now we mentioned this. This is going back. He's repeating the thing we had this in previous program where he says, "Halavai there should be a judge. Halavai I should be able to take Hakadosh Baruch Hu to a court." To a court of law. And there should be a judge that can sit in judgment between me and Hashem. But then, if we remember, then he said, if I even to think such a thing would make me not be curious. And if I would present an argument against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the judge would say, how dare you? Hashem is Kol Yachol. You're not be curious for challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here he's not so polite anymore. Here he's getting more chutzpah. He's saying, that's right. I won't have a debate. And you know what? I don't even want to judge. I want to have a one-on-one, a debate one-on-one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. As the Sefer progresses, Eev gets more belligerent in the way he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the past, he was more respectful. We'll go to a third party. He will judge. He will be the moderator. The mediator or the moderator between us, arbitrator between us. Here, no, I want to speak directly. I want to speak directly, and I want to rebuke. You hear this? This is pretty heavy duty chutzpah. I want to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu some arguments. I want to rebuke HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echbatz, that's what I want. Let's see, Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Gimel El Shaka Yadaber. Lo Echbatz Me'ata L'Sakech Imchem. Enough of you. I don't want to talk to you, my friends. You're not my friends anymore. Friends like these, who needs enemies? Who give me Musar. Kiyim, however, what do I want? El Shakai Adaber Vimo Echbot Lasakech. I want to speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu and I want to argue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Ulamani, Ani Eini Mevakeh Shel Daber Elof. The only thing I want now is to speak directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu, his Fakech Himo, and to argue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Echbot, that's what I want. Pasuk Dalet. Now he tells off his friends. And he says, you people, you're all a bunch of good for nothings. V'ulam, the truth is, atem toifle shaker. You are a group. Tefel, what does tefel mean? Tofel. Right, you have an ikur and a tofel. Right, you have food. What bracha do you make on the food? A food has many ingredients. You make a bracha on the ikur. The tofel, you don't make a bracha. So he says, you all are people that are tofel one to another. Tofel is something which attaches itself. Look at the Mitzudos.
It's not from the word tiflis?
Foolishness? Maybe in other kind. At least according to the Mitzudos, here he says that it means you are, it's an attachment. An insignificant attachment. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Toifle. Inyun chibur. Attachment. V'dibuk. To cleave. Kemo vatitbol al avonai, it attaches upon my sins. So that's there means just to attach. So here he's saying that you, my friends, are people who attach yourself to sheker. Next words of the pasuk, we'll come and read the mitzvot in a moment. Roifei elil kulchem, you are doctors of elil. El means nothingness. El comes from the word al. Al means nothing. Al is another word for low. Low and al are the same thing. Low means no, and al means not. So it means you are doctors, you're illegitimate doctors. You don't have a license to practice medicine. You just take money, but you don't provide.
Charlotte.
You're not a refuah. You're illegitimate. Kulchem, all of you. Okay, so these are two expressions where he tells them all off. Let's look at the Mitzudot Stavit. Pasuk Dalet. That's what the Mitzudah says. Very good. So it's a very powerful insight. From here we learn the word Elil. Lo yelcha Elilim achedim al ponai. In Elil. Elil is an idol. Why is an idol called an Elil? Is because the Mitzudah says Al. Al means not or lo. It comes from the word nothingness. Let's take a look at the Mitzudah David. Vulam avol mikem ein li toeles. I have no toeles. This is a very scary expression. He says to his friends, I have no toeles from you. There's no gain, there's no purpose in having any association, any dealings with you. Ki atem mechabrim yachad divrei sheker. You join together with words of falsehood. Ki tosfu olai oven, rav, you add upon me sin. Asher lo kein hu. It's not true. You accuse me. This goes back to what he said in the previous parakim. You accuse me of being a sinner, and worse than that, you provoke me, and I respond with words of sin. You get me angry, and that provokes me to complain even more, and in my complaint, I say things which I will later regret. Words of apikorsis, words of heresy.
And you jump on me for it.
And then, so there's a vicious cycle. And this vicious cycle, who is the one that is instigating this vicious cycle? You. I mean, that's what goes on in the newspaper all the time, right? The editors of all these newspapers, they deliberately, that's how you make money. That's how you do business. You write in a publication something provocative, which the editor himself probably doesn't agree with, in order to provoke the tzibur, so they should respond, and they should send in letters, and then that should get the person who wrote the original statement even more angry, so he should speak back with greater intensity, and then the people will respond with greater intensity until it gets way out of hand, and then you call it quits. But in the meantime, it's sensational. And that's exactly what.
Any local newspaper.
And that's exactly what. This is the way the world goes. And this is exactly what Eov is saying about his friends. We had this idea expressed very clearly in the previous parakim that you are being moisif upon me, sin, by provoking me. And therefore, I have nothing out of you people. Therefore, what are you all? I'm a sick person. And obviously, Eov was extremely ill. He's extremely sick. He's sitting in ash. His blood, his body was oozing with pus, boils. Now here the Metzudos is focusing on something very specific. This is specifically true to Tzofar, more so than the others. Tzofar emphasized with great intensity that Eov, if you'll only do tshuva at this moment in time, Hashem will forgive you for your sins. If you will admit, you will confess that you're a sinner, Hashem will forgive you, and you'll live out the rest of your life with great success, with good health and success and happiness. He looks at them and he says, "You idiot, nonsense, I'm going to die. I'm ill at a point where it's beyond return. So what kind of doctor are you? What kind of doctor are you? You're a doctor, you go to a doctor, person is terminal, and the doctor says, don't worry, you're going to live. You have a life expectancy of 150 years. This doctor, you should run, because you know for a fact... He's a quack. The person knows for a fact that he's terminal. There's nothing he can do. The only thing is I'm going to at least to alleviate the pain management, or at least to increase the quality of whatever I have left in my life. And this doctor tells me that my health is going to be restored. This is a roife elil, a doctor of nothingness, a quack. And that's why, because it's exactly what Sefer Hanamasi told you of. Rotzolaymar, ma shenischamu osi loymar sheeshev shen she tisnachamu osi. You gave me you gave me comfort, loymar, by telling me sheeshev laHashem, that if I will, like kish eshev laHashem, that when I will confess that I'm a sinner and I will pray to Hashem, yiske acharisi, my end will be great. I'll become a successful person, whatever I have left in my life. Haloi hevelhu. This is total nonsense. Ki ain be. So here, why not? I told you the other path, because he actually said this explicitly in the previous parakim that I'm going to die. I'm at a point beyond return. But here the Mitzvah says something different. It's nonsense because ki ain be oven loshov elof. Okay, that's what he says. I don't have a sin. He's wavering. He's vacillating between his excuses. Eve is going back and forth. He's confused. Well, not confused, but he has many arguments.
Very consistent. He refused. All three told them, do tshuva.
The first two didn't tell him to do tshuva. Sefer Hanamasi is the one that focused on doing tshuva. That's the difference.
Well, they said Hashem doesn't punish for nothing. He knows what he's doing. That's
but they didn't tell him to do tshuva. They didn't tell him to do tshuva.
Hashem doesn't punish for nothing.
You deserve it.
So just accept it, and that's the way it is. Sefer Hanamasi had more emphasis that it's not too late. You're a sinner, do tshuva. And by doing tshuva, you will then be forgiven.
Did Eov believe that there was no one else in the world that didn't have the same situation as he did?
Possibly not. Possibly it wasn't
what he was targeted.
Maybe yes. Maybe he believed that to be true. We don't know what it was like. We don't really know what it was like in ancient times. How people today, we know. Today we live in such a complicated world. At your fingertips, you know it's doing all over the whole world. But in ancient times, what do people really know? You lived in your little village, and how broad was the person in knowing what's going on in the world? And also, people didn't there wasn't non-medicine in those days. People died, got sick. 1, 2, 3, they were gone.
Person, but he actually believed that there was no one like him in the whole world?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. He was a very great person, obviously, and he suffered very much. I don't know. He's saying there's no need for me to do tshuva because I have done nothing wrong. He's in denial. Ki ein bi oven lo shuvei lav. So therefore, you are roif el as you go to a doctor, and the doctor tells you, I have to correct what I said before, according to Mitzudos, it goes to a doctor, and the doctor says, you're suffering from this disease. I say, doctor, you know what you're talking about? I don't have this disease. This is not the illness. So you are roife elil. You're a doctor of nothingness. Okay. Oh, good morning. How are you? How are you feeling? Okay, let's take a look at the word Elil in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos is a very, very important, interesting word in Pasuk Dalit. Elil, Al. The word Elil comes from the word Al, Vilo. So I'm guessing that the last lamed in this word stands for lo. It's like you have to add in a silent aleph. The letter aleph many times is silent. The first aleph is al. Al means not. Not so. Al bini. Not so. Then the next lamed is lo. Lo doesn't need an aleph. If you have a dot and a cholam on top of the lamed, it's also lo. This has the same pronunciation, the same expression as not. So elil means al and lo. Al v'lo. L'chein yikru avoidas k'chavim elilim. That's what idols are called elilim. It comes from the word bavur zeh because an idol is nothing. It's al v'lo. It's a lie.
Another way to phrase it might be powerless.
Okay, well that's el yesh el yel. You're saying an entirely different idea. What you're saying is an entirely different idea, which is very good. You need this insight as well, where you have words and words can mean opposites. The classic example is yishrosh yisharesh. Yishrosh to take root, yisharesh to uproot. The same exact words, the pronunciation changes it from completely opposite meanings. There are many, many words like this. So you're taking this a step further, and you're being mechadish at this moment, that it says here, elil, which means al, which comes from the word al. Al means not. Al is also el. Yesh, le'el yodi. Aleph lamed with its seire underneath the aleph means power. Yesh le'el elimov, the mighty. So instead of the pronunciation of the two letters being el, you want to change the vowels to al, which is the extreme opposite. The opposite of power is nothingness, the lack of power, powerlessness. An idol is the opposite of el. El means power. Elil is the same letters, or is powerlessness. Okay. Now we go to the next pasuk.
So it's also occurred to me. Not spelled the same.
No, you said ilal was low and not. Ilal was up and yes.
Okay. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi pasuk. Pasuk Dalid, Toifle Sheker. You are Toifle Mechabre Divre Sheker. You are people who attach yourselves. Maybe that's what they should call politicians.
No, politicians are
false idols.
Pure Sheker.
The people who work for
the essence of Sheker. Toifle Sheker, Mechabre Divre Sheker. Roife Elil Kulchem, Kol Elil Shabamikro Lashon Al. Every word al means not. Now, here's another interpretation. Now, I'm not really clear what this is. I imagine I didn't get a chance to look at the Rav Schwab. I'm willing to bear Rav Schwab talks about this. Now, I'm saying the parish is Zegid Hatzavar She'en Lo Rufuah Ushmo Elol. Are you familiar with this, Dr. Freeman? There's a gid, a sinew in the neck. That's called the Alal. You have this in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about this. Someone, Chulin, talks about, I don't know, somehow it sticks in my mind as a Gemara.
Or Lota.
Fat, that's the fat tail. But there's part of, there's something in the Masech Tehul, and I don't remember exactly where it is, about this gid. There's a sinew in the neck.
Something called a Marta Claw.
And it appears, okay, I'm not sure I'm interpreting this correctly, that when this gid goes wrong, goes foul, goes sour, there's nothing that can be done to restore. There is no refuah for this gid. I guess in ancient times, what? okay, whatever it is, I don't know if it's an artery, but it's some type of muscle, it appears, that if an animal or a human being is suffering from an illness relating to this gid, the nature of this gid is it cannot be repaired, it cannot be restored. So it's like you're going to a doctor specializes in providing the cure for something which has no cure. So you're the Raifei Eliel. There's a disease in the world, the disease is the Eliel that has no cure. This is what's accepted in the world. And this is the doctor that specializes in the right thing. He's a joke. He's a joker. He's a quack. He's a charlatan. So this is what we call the Raifei, your Raifei, Elil Kulchem, you're all a bunch of quacks. He's getting in very belligerent. His frustration is, the intensity of his frustration is increasing to a new level where he's telling them off with great intensity. Okay, now he goes to Pasuk. Okay, now he says another very powerful word. He tells them, be quiet already. I'm not going to say the nice word, but he says to them, Mi yitain hacharesh tacharishon, if you can just be quiet already. Enough of this nonsense coming out of your mouth. Usihi lachem l'chachma. And your silence will be chachma. Rabbi Rak, ever listen to Rabbi Kefet? Rabbi Kefet, he says only, he says, every shiur says, be quiet and let the ignorant pass for the wise. He says that every single shiur, he says, do you know, he always asks a question, do you know this person? He says, just nod your head, make believe you know who the person is. Let the ignorant pass for the wise. And that's what he's saying over here. Be quiet, and your silence, if you're silent, will let people think that you're wise. My mother always used to tell me, be quiet, with my mother, someone said, be quiet, better be quiet and let people think you're a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubts. That's a good one. So that's exactly what he's saying. Eve is the one that invented this expression. If only you can be quiet, and your silence will be viewed in the eyes of the world as wisdom. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk. Hey, Pasuk in the Mitzvah David, v'tilachem l'chachma, ki b'divreichem, your words, dirim kischolim, your words are foolishness. People are going to, one day, going to listen, they're going to be learning in the koilel, the morning koilel, they're going to be listening to what you said, they're going to say about you that you're fools. He's talking to us. He's talking to us. They're going to say about you, my three friends, ki b'divreichem, dirim kischolim, kischichlus l'chem, from your words it appears that you're foolish. Lizos, therefore, shasku, silent, be silent. Ulai yachshav lahatzdik es hakel yachshav ki atem ki mi shatem chachamim. People will think that you're wise by not. Maybe people ulai. People think you're wise by not saying something foolish. Okay, pasik Rashi. Rashi says, no, there is no Rashi. Okay, one more pasuk. Pasuk shvav shimu na seichachti v'rivoy sifosai hakshivu. Listen to what I have to say. I have some very sharp words of rebuke. Listen to my rebuke and v'rivoy. What does it mean? V'rivoy means the. That's a hard word. The rebuke. Okay, according to the same exact thing. V'rivos, the same word as teichacha, sifasai, my lips, hakshivu, hearken. Listen carefully. Let's see, pasuk vav in mitzudos. Shimu, havinu ata v'chuach imarai, pay close attention to my musr, to my arguments. V'rivos, hu havikuach. V'rivos, exactly the same thing as teichacha. V'kofal hadavar b'milois shoynois. Let's see, Pasig Vav, Rivoy Soichachas, same thing it says in Rashi, it says Soichachas. Okay, let us stop here at Pasig.
Speaking about Megala Lucas, he said that Akiva Ben Yosef is Gematria, Zimri Ben Sur, and he was a Gilgal.
Yeah.
And that's why 24,000 Talmudim died, because they were Gilgulim of the.
The Magefa.
Yeah.
The Magefa. I told you he was a Mokobo.
He was a chief rabbi in Krakow.
Ah.
I think his great great grandchildren are the Spinka dynasty, the Kahari, are there from the Megala and Mekris.
Do you know?